Father, we ask you that the word might reach our hearts, both the speaker and those who are listeners. We ask this in the name of your Son. Amen.
Amen.
Before I open this book, this is not any book. This is God's word. What I mean by that is the following. You have a lot of names. Jeremiah, Genesis, Paul. I say this is God's word.
Amen.
It comes from God, and God has made sure that his word comes through. The Holy Spirit is the one who's going to make sure of that. It's not my word. I can make mistakes. But God's word does not make a mistake. It tells exactly what is truth. And with this, we'll turn to the word. And the last time I spoke, we talked about the Lord Jesus being the center. And it was mentioned that they were one couple or one or three people who found out that the Lord was their center. That was Mary, Martha, and the brother.
Lazarus.
Yeah. Now, how did this happen, that the Lord came to be their center? It's very interesting. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, we have a little story about Mary and Martha. And in 10th chapter, in verse 38, it says, "Now it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." There's Martha. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Notice his word comes in. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him, that is the Lord, and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "The Son of God is answering this lady. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." What is that good part? She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Whose word? Jesus, Son of God, sent into this world to bring the word. In the Gospel of John, it says that Jesus himself is the word. It's a wonderful expression. In the beginning was the word. It doesn't say God. It says the word. That's what can come to us, the word. And it is the prayer of the speaker and many here that the word might have its effect. So now you have this lady hearing the word of God. Whether Martha was listening, I don't know. It doesn't say here. But Mary was listening. And something about this man who was speaking fascinated her. She stayed at his feet and heard his word. So now we go to the next chapter. and we have a special occasion. In chapter 11 it says, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place," John 11, "Now a certain man was sick," verse 1, "Lazarus of Bethany." Lazarus. Well, let's see what the word says. "The town of Mary and her sister Martha." It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Last time we mentioned that these three made the Lord a supper. But now we find something about these three. It seems that Martha is the oldest one, and Mary is next, and this brother is mentioned. He's not mentioned in Luke. The Lord has a special purpose here to bring the brother in, Lazarus. He was sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now here's a key verse. "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." He loved all three. In John's Gospel, chapter 3, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," that brings it down to you or me, "whosoever," the word of God goes right to the heart. Now here there are three. One is sick. And the Lord says, first of all, he said, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Here is the one who healed the multitude. And wherever he went, he healed people. There was a young girl who died, and he raised her. There was a young man who was being carried to the cemetery, and he made him alive. But this one, he said, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Is that the way to do things? We would say that's peculiar. But you see, it's the Son of God who had received instruction from his Father. Because he said, "I do nothing of myself, but what my Father tells me that I do." So here, he waited 2 days. He loved them all, but he waited 2 days so that he might be glorified. Now let's see what happens. "Let us go to Judea again," he says in verse 7. Now, he had just been threatened with being stoned in Judea, in Jerusalem, in that area. But now he says, "Let us go." And the disciples were upset. And in verse 8, the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world." He's the light of the world. "But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." These things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." That's an unusual expression, sleep. Then the disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Now, this is a wonderful expression which is used even today when one who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ dies. We say he sleeps, because this is the expression that the Lord uses. He's just sleeping, he's going to wake up. And he's going to wake up in glory. That's the way with a person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. When he dies, he's put into the ground. It's only for a while. We don't know how long, because we don't know when the Lord is coming again to receive us to himself. It's only a sleep for the believer. For the unbeliever, the word tells us. We heard this morning a little bit about it. Judgment. He will be raised too, but it will be for judgment. Let us continue. Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. The disciples didn't understand. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you might believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. This word, that you might believe, is a very important word in this particular gospel, John's gospel, that you might believe. Believe what? That Jesus Christ died and rose again the third day. That by believing in him, you can have everlasting life. It's very simple. And it needs to be repeated, especially today. The Lord Jesus is the source of life. Let's continue. So, then Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us go also, that we may die with him. Since the people had been ready to stone Jesus in this area where they were going, Thomas was going to go with him and die. Well, let's see what happens. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. It's a little less than 2 miles. Many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. That's the usual thing you do when somebody passes. You try to comfort. What comfort is there if you don't know what has happened to that person? Just died? Then they came to comfort Martha and Mary. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. Martha. You see, Martha had learned something about this one, who she complained to about Mary not helping her. She had learned something. Now she was the first one who meets him. Now there's a little conversation, very interesting. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She had faith in this one, up to a point. So do we. We have faith in the Lord up to a point. but it could become greater. Let's see what happens. But even now, she says, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Yes? Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She knew there was going to be a resurrection at the last day. That teaching was in the Old Testament. But you see, the Lord Jesus had come for a greater purpose. Now he says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. I'd like to say it in a different way. I am resurrection and I am life. I am that I am. God is speaking there. God the Son. Because Martha didn't quite get there yet. The Holy Spirit had been trying to teach her, and she was going to learn more about this one who was called Jesus. And then he says, he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who's come into the world. She didn't quite understand what he was saying, but she did believe in this one. And when she said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as Mary heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. Something Martha didn't do. She fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She said the same thing her sister did. Our hearts don't quickly understand what the Lord wants us to know. Sometimes we look backward. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Two words, the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. He wept with the weeping. See how he loved him. It was obvious. Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and the brother. And you and I. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, there is a smell, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you have sent me. Now when he said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The power of the Son of God. And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus did. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, what shall we do? For this man works many signs. And if we let him alone like this, everyone who believes in him, and the Romans will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation. So that is how the reaction of the leaders of Israel. They were planning to do away with Jesus. And that is the story of the raising of Lazarus. And so we come to the 12th chapter, where they made him a feast. Now it's a wonderful thing. You find that Mary served. When we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we can become servants. But there's more. Lazarus, the one who was raised, sat at the table with Jesus. We have communion with the Lord Jesus. Wonderful thing. That's the second thing we have as believers. Number three, we can worship. Mary took that box, which was worth 300, and she poured it on the Lord Jesus. That's worship. Service, fellowship, worship. All these things the believer has, who has put his trust in this one, who is the Word, who came down into the world so that the world through him might believe. And this is still the thing today, in spite of the attempts of the enemy to stop the Word, taking it out of the school and so forth, the Word is still available. So here's a poor person like me who opens the Word of God, and it's available to you and to me. And the Word of God is the one thing that we have which is permanent. Everything else is passive. It goes away. So it is important to realize that when you have heard the word of God, you're responsible for it. God will hold you responsible. Why? Because he sent his only son into the scene to save us. Jesus died so that you and I could believe. Do you believe? Super. If you don't believe, you're wasting time. It's a wonderful thing that the Word of God is still available today. Because there will come a time when God will stop and judgment will come. This is serious. That's why as believers, we have a duty to become those who bring the word. What do we bring? The word. Not what I think. What I think is immaterial. Because that's fraught with failure and my own words. But this book is not a failure. It is perfect. It's God's word. And God's word is Jesus. This whole book is about Jesus. And that's the wonderful thing about this book. Otherwise, I wouldn't open it. Jesus came into this world to save sinners. I don't want to say of whom I'm chief, but let it be. That's the word of God. And it is through the grace of God that I stand here, or that you are here. It's grace, mercy, love. God loved Martha, Mary, and Joseph. Yeah, Joseph too. So with this in mind, we can turn and join these three in their appreciation of the Lord. Now I noticed one thing, that Mary wasn't one of the women at the grave of the Lord Jesus. Can't find her. My understanding is this, that when the Lord deals with an individual, there's a reaction. And there's a greater understanding of the Lord Jesus when we listen to his word in our own lives. And an appreciation. How can we show this appreciation for the Lord Jesus? I tell you, when the Lord Jesus was here, he said to his disciples, just before he died, remember me. It's a simple word. Remember me. And he took bread, and he said to them, this is a symbol of my body. Take this. Eat of it. And then he took wine. He said, this is the New Testament in my blood. Drink it, all of it. Simple as that. We can show our appreciation of the Lord Jesus by doing this. It's a special thing that the Lord has left for us. Because the result of it is our hearts well up in worship. There's a greater appreciation of the Lord Jesus. And I notice in Acts 20, the disciples came together to break bread. That was their purpose. It wasn't to have a long session of speaking or No, they came together to break bread. That was the important thing. Why? The Lord said, remember me. And this, the Christians today do it, many of them. And they did it in those days, and they do it today. And they will continue to do so until the Lord comes. And when the Lord comes, he might come today, I don't know. When he comes, there will be no necessity to remember him. Shall see him as he is. It's a wonderful thing. We have the Christian has something to look forward to. Not only that he's going to heaven, where the Lord is, but he's going to see him, the one who died for him or for her. It's a special thing. We shall see the Lord. And the Apostle John says that so much in his epistle. We shall look upon the Lord who died for us. This is a special privilege. To remember the Lord and his death will raise our songs of worship. When we, in spite of the things that we have to do, we have to earn our living, we have to get up and do things, but we have this opportunity to remember the Lord and to worship, to really get into that. The Lord seeks that. He desires that we come together and think of him, not of ourselves. Well, we can't help to think of what God did for me, yes. But he is the one that did it. That's the one I want to worship. He died for me, yes. My sins were on him, yes. But they were on him. That's the important thing. God himself came down. God the Son came down for me. Came down for you. This is what counts. And that should bring our hearts up to worship him. It's a wonderful thing that can start here. We don't have to wait until we get to glory. We can, with these feeble mouths and little strength, worship him even here. For the Father seeks such to worship him. The Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, the Lord Jesus said, I and my Father are one. That's when they were ready to stone him. That's when they were ready to stone him. But we know that the Father seeks such to worship him. And when we read in Philippians chapter 2, the Lord Jesus went all the way down to the cross. Therefore, the word is so wonderful, has little words that we just go over. Wherefore, or therefore, God raised him and gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. If you don't believe, you shall bow. Because there's a time coming when Jesus, the Lamb of God, who died on the cross, will be the judge. God has given judgment into his hand. And if there's one who does not believe, he will be the judge. You will have no excuse. God has left his word. His word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and is able to do that which God has sent it for, because the Spirit is the one who applies it.
Pause and breath. We're so thankful, our God, for our time together, that we were able to hear your word and to be refreshed by it. We're so glad that you were able to tell us a few things concerning those that you love, Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus, in a way that would meet our need. Thank you, Lord. And so we're looking for that time that you're going to call us up, even today. And so, our God, we thank you. We thank you for the messenger, our brother, whom you've used in this way. And we pray that you might bless his efforts and that we might be blessed by your words. As we separate one from the other, be with us this day and the rest of the week, that our hearts might be encouraged to read your word and to be able to see what you have to say to us as individuals, even as we prepare ourselves for the day of conference, that we might read the book of James and review it over and over again, even in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, this day. Amen.